All right, today we're continuing a summer series called Hot Topics. Somebody say Hot Topics.
Hot Topics.
Hot Topics, guaranteed to make you uncomfortable while you sit and sweat in your seat. We're talking about some uncomfortable issues, but this is a much-needed series because we need to address the tough issues. If we don't, the world will. If we don't talk about this stuff, the devil will, and I want you to know the truth so you don't fall for the lie. So for today's hot topic, perhaps the hottest week so far, I'm going to talk about the issue of sex. Ooh, aren't you glad you brought somebody with you to church today? Hot topics, I warned you. Today's topic is going to be a sensitive subject. This is not a children's message. If you have small children with you today, take them to kids' church, okay? You can take them to our check-in desk in the lobby, and I promise you they'll have a good time and learn about Jesus. So let's get into our hot topic today. I heard about a Sunday morning service at a large church where an attractive young woman, she got excited during praise and worship and accidentally fell over the balcony. The problem is she reached out and grabbed the railing, but her dress came off. So the poor girl was hanging there from the balcony, exposed for all the congregation to see. And the pastor immediately went to the microphone and said, "If any of you men look at her, God's going to strike you blind." And one old man in the back said, "I believe I'll take a chance with one eye." I'm kind of glad we don't have a balcony in here today. All right, let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "Concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." I want you to say that out loud. Repeat after me. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. And all the guys are thinking, "Man, I really hate this church." It's good for a man not to touch a woman. I've seen a lot of Bible verses on bumper stickers, on banners, on t-shirts, on bracelets. I've seen Bible verses on Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook, but I've never seen this one posted anywhere. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, today and next Sunday, we're going to talk about sex because whether you admit it or not, this is something that affects all of us. And if this is already making you uncomfortable, you can go to kids' church too. Just check yourself in at the desk, okay? You're a little old, but we'll make an exception. Things might get a little uncomfortable at times today, but listen, if we can't get help with these issues at church, where else can we get help for them? And before you get all holy and sanctified and tell me that sex doesn't affect you, let me ask you something. How do you think you got here in the first place? Unless you were born in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, there was some sexual activity involved in your coming to be. So sexuality affects all of us in one way or another. To get to kids' church, you go through those double doors and take a left. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's look back at that passage. "Concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." Now, this was a real letter to a real church, okay, just like us. And this morning, I want to talk about two things that we have in common with the church at Corinth. Okay, when I read this letter from a pastor's heart to a congregation, I see two things that we have in common with the Corinthians. Number one is we all have issues. We all have issues. Look at your neighbor and tell them, "You've got issues." Now you need to be honest. Look back at them and admit to them, "I have issues too." Some of y'all enjoyed that way too much. We all have issues. We all have areas of brokenness. We all have areas where we struggle. We all have areas of doubt. We all have issues that we're facing, and you need to know this morning that God cares about your issues. That's why this Hot Topic series is touching on issues. Some people are struggling, doubting whether or not they can trust the Bible. In fact, after week one, I had somebody come to me after service and said, "Thank you. I was really doubting and struggling because of things that my friends had told me about the Bible that weren't true." People struggle with the reality of eternity, with heaven and hell. We talked about that. We talked about people struggle with alcohol. We talked about alcohol. And today and next Sunday, we're going to talk about sex. And I'm glad my mama's not sitting on the front row like she was last week, because I will be sweating next Sunday. We all have issues. God cares about those issues. 1 Corinthians is part of a personal letter from the Apostle Paul that he wrote to the church at Corinth, which was a church full of young believers. They had written a letter to Paul first. They said, "Pastor Paul, we got some questions and we need some answers." And in this chapter, chapter 7, they get answers to their questions. They ask him about being single versus getting married. They said, you know, what about people who are widowed or people who have been divorced? You know, they had a lot of questions, and Paul answers their questions. But notice that we're all the way in chapter 7 before he starts to answer any of their questions. Okay? We're in chapter 7, and he's just now addressing their issues. See, often there's a big difference between the questions we ask and the issues that we're really struggling with. And God is not nearly as concerned with answering your questions as he is with confronting your real issues. On Wednesday, I asked my wife, I said, "Well, how did your meeting go?" She said, "Well, let me tell you about the meeting I had last week." So she told me about the meeting she had last week. Then let me tell you about what happened yesterday. And she went through this long, drawn-out ordeal of giving me the information that I needed to know before she answered the question that I asked her. And see, that's exactly what Paul is doing with the Corinthians. They asked him a question, and he got to the question, but he said, we need to talk about some other stuff before we get to the things that you wrote me about. Paul goes through 6 chapters of the Bible dealing with their issues. In chapter 5, he said, "It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even the pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife." What? They didn't ask him about that, but he found out. He said, no, we'll get to your questions later, but we're going to deal with this stuff now. In chapter 6, he said, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never." Oh, they didn't ask him about that. But we're going to talk about that and deal with that first. Apparently, there was widespread prostitution in Corinth, and Paul heard that some of the church members have been hanging out in the red light district. And apparently, they weren't going to see them, to witness to them, and invite them to church. Hallelujah. They had some issues, y'all. But they didn't put any of those things in their list of questions to the pastor. All right. Paul finds out about them, and he confronts them. Paul says, "I hear that there's incest among you. Stop it. Okay? I hear that some of you are going to hookers. You need to cut that out. Now for the questions you wrote me about." Sometimes the questions that we ask aren't really the questions that we need answers to. Corinthians said, "We have questions," and Paul said, "No, you have issues." And he dealt with their issues before he answered their questions. And I know that some of you have questions about relationships today, but maybe there are some issues that God wants to work out in your life before he answers those questions. You see, oftentimes we want answers, but God wants transformation. We want information, he wants transformation. And when we find ourselves in a season of transition, we focus on where we're going, but God cares more about who we're becoming. So maybe right now, instead of focusing on finding the right one, maybe you need to work on becoming the right one. Because if you find the right one and you haven't become the right one, you're going to mess up the right one, because the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Come on, tell somebody, we got issues. First, the Corinthians had a lot of questions, but Paul said, we're going to deal with your issues first. That's what I love about the Bible. I love it. The Bible deals with the issues that people are facing where they are. We're reading through the Bible this year from cover to cover. I don't know about y'all, but I found some issues in my own life just going through the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Bible will deal with your issues. The Bible will get up in your business and confront those issues. Too many churches spend their time talking about stuff that really doesn't matter. We're quick to get involved in petty arguments and theological debates that have no bearing on everyday life, and we remain silent on the real issues. Getting quiet in here. When are we going to wake up and realize that there's a world full of hurting people who are lost and dying, and people have real issues, and the Bible has the real answers? We're not reaching people with the love of Jesus. Nothing else matters, y'all. I know this series is uncomfortable, but we've got to talk about the issues. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, takes 6 entire chapters to deal with their issues and their struggles and their problems before he ever gets around to their questions. God cares about your issues. Come on, tell somebody, God cares about your issues. Amen. God is not interested in us coming in here, playing church, and being happy and smiling when we're here, and then walking out the front door and going right back to our regular dysfunctions. Come on, God cares about your struggles and your problems. Jesus dealt with people's issues. I think about the woman at the well. The woman at the well asked him, where do we worship? Okay. Her question was, where should we worship? But her issue was that she was living with a man that she wasn't married to. So Jesus said, let's talk about that. Because the questions we ask aren't always the questions that we really need the answers to. So tell somebody else, God cares about your issues. So Paul deals with the issues, and if you want to know what all the juicy gossip is, go ahead and read chapters 1-6 when you get home today. But here in chapter 7, he finally gets to their questions. Here's the question somebody sent to him. Is it okay for me to stay single instead of getting married? Paul says in verse 1, yeah, it's okay. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things which you wrote me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Paul isn't saying you're better if you do or you're worse if you don't. He's simply saying that it's acceptable if you choose to remain single. It's okay and it's good if that's what you want to do. Now, there's a verse in the Bible a lot of single people quote, Genesis 2:18. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Right? I hear that over and over again. It's not good. And somehow people interpret the Bible to mean if you're not married, then you're alone, and that's not good. But that's simply not true. You can be single and still not be alone. You can have a church family. You can have deep friendships. In fact, when you're single, you can have deeper friendships than married people can have. And married people with kids have forgotten even existed, okay? You can be single and whole and complete and confident in who you are. There are advantages to being single, okay? So many single people have the wrong attitude. If I just get married, all my problems will go away. Oh, dear, you don't know nothing about problems till you get married. What you talking about? If you're in a season, my wife says amen on the front row. Yes, Lord. Y'all don't even know nothing about problems till you've been married, y'all. Here's the thing is each one has its advantages. There are advantages to being single and there are advantages to being married. There are problems with being single and there are problems you'll deal with when you're married, y'all. You don't need somebody on your arm to make you good. God made you good by yourself. All the single ladies say amen. Tell somebody you're good. Come on, shout, I'm good. The Apostle Paul says, if you want to be single, that's good. It's good, but it's not easy. Let's go on to verse number 2. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Number 1, we have issues. Number 2, God still has a standard. Amen. God still has a standard. Yes. Paul says there's sexual immorality going on. And if there's a such thing as sexual immorality, that means that there is such a thing as sexual morality. Amen. All sex is not bad and all sex is not sin. Come on, for far too long, the church has told young people sex is dirty, sex is wrong, sex is bad, sex is filthy. So save it for your marriage. How does that make sense? It's bad, it's nasty, it's filthy, it's dirty. Wait till you get married. Save it for then. People think that Christians aren't getting any, so they don't want anybody else to get any. Come on, y'all. That's what the world thinks. Y'all preaching against sex all the time. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. They must not be doing it either. I told you it's going to be too hot to handle. Some of y'all are sweating in your seats. Getting nervous. Look, we got fans. Ushers, where y'all at? We got fans. If you get too hot, okay, you just raise your hand. If you're sweating that bad, well, you can fan yourself. The world thinks we ain't got no action going on in the church. Listen, sex was not the devil's idea, by the way. The devil is not smart enough to come up with something like that. In fact, the devil never invented anything. All he can do is pervert what God makes. God makes something good, and the devil takes it and makes a perverted version of it. So sex is God's idea, and it's meant to be a blessing. And because God created it, God established a standard of how to do it right. And it's found right here in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. Let each man have his own wife. And let each woman have her own husband. That's what we believe. This is our official position as a church. Nothing less, nothing more. If you're wondering where we stand, 1 Corinthians 7, 2. Let each man have his own wife and each woman have her own husband. If you're a man, the Bible says that you can have a wife. If you're a woman, the Bible says you can have a husband. I don't have a wife, then you don't get to have sex. I don't have a husband, you don't get to have sex yet, right? It's as simple as that. I'm sorry, I know you might not like it, but guys, it's not complicated. God made it so simple, it's so easy for us to comprehend. This message might not make you feel good, but I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to help you live right. How many of you know that there's a right and a wrong way to live? How many of you guys believe that? Okay. And the right way to live is not determined by our popular culture. It's not determined by politics. It's not determined by Hollywood. It's not determined by Bruce Jenner and Kim Kardashian. It's not determined by any pastor or by any congregation. It is determined by the one who created us. God is the one who sets the standard. Let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. So sex is made for husbands and wives. That's God's boundary. The problem in the modern church is that the singles are having sex and the married people aren't. Oh, I said it. I'll say it again. Get out your cell phone. Go Facebook Live. The problem in the modern church is all the single people are having sex and the married people aren't. And God's plan is the exact opposite of that. It's God's blessing for married people. And it should be enjoyed. And it should be done often.
Amen.
And now the men are finally back with me. When I said it's good for a man not to touch a woman, all the guys just shut down like, I hate church. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I wish I would have stayed in bed. And now the men are shouting hallelujah, praising God. I'm having fun. Y'all are sweating. Verse 3 says this: let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Y'all know what that's talking about, right? Or do I have to tell you? It's talking about intimacy. By the way, one of man's greatest needs is sex. Did you know that?
Yep.
Our men's ministry just doubled. We're going to have the first mega men's ministry. We're going to have 850 guys in men's ministry, y'all. But really, it's one of man's greatest needs. In college, I studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it starts with food. And then it starts with shelter, and it starts talking about safety, and then sex is about halfway up the progression. And I think Maslow got it wrong. Because if I had to choose between food and sex, I mean, I can always eat later. And I know it's uncomfortable. Kids' church is almost done, but if you go right now, you can make it for snack time. I know it's uncomfortable, but man's greatest need is sex. And according to God, the only place he can fulfill that need is in marriage. Again, the problem in the modern church is the single people are doing it and the married people are not. Well, Pastor, how often should we be intimate? That is none of my business. Why would you even ask me that? That is up to you and your spouse. But there are examples in the Bible where married people went on a fast and they weren't intimate. Okay? There were seasons when they did that. And guys, we've got something going on in the back. Will you just stretch your hands this way and let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for healing. Lord, that you would touch him. Give him strength, God. I thank you, Lord, for being right now, being present in this room. Lord, we thank you for your healing power. God, we thank you for touching right now in the name of Jesus, right in the midst of that situation. Lord, we thank you, God, for not only doing the work of healing supernaturally, Lord, but guiding our medical team, God, as they minister right now. Lord, I thank you for being with them in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for healing and strength. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So people have asked the question, how often should we be intimate? And I tell you, that has nothing to do with me. That is between you and your spouse. Now in the Bible, there were times when people would abstain for seasons of time, but the longest time that I've found is 3 days. I'm just telling you what I found in the Bible. Now, the Jewish Mishnah, according to Jewish tradition, they did a study on this, and they deal a lot with sex and marriage, and they give different occupations, and they talk about how, well, so if somebody's a soldier and they're deployed, or if somebody is a sailor, if they're a merchant, they have to go through long seasons of celibacy because they're separated from their spouse. But it says, according to the Jewish tradition, to the Mishnah, which is the first part of the Talmud, the teachings of the rabbis, according to that, they recommend a minimum of one time per day. Now, that's not the Bible. That's Jewish tradition. I thought I'd throw that out there. But ultimately, how often you come together is something that you both need to agree on. Now, men, she's not going to agree to once every 90 minutes. And ladies, he's not going to agree on our anniversary, okay? And it's not just a need of men. Women need sex, too. But for the women, their sexual needs are secondary to their emotional needs. So, guys, you can't be an emotional terrorist and expect her to meet your needs. You're not meeting her needs. You see, God blesses sex when it's in the boundaries. Boundaries come before the blessing. And nobody in this church really believes that there should be no sexual standard. Whether you're a Christian or a non-believer, nobody believes that there should be no standards. Because all of us know somebody who's been the victim of somebody who crossed God's boundary. People who were touched inappropriate, people who were violated and abused. And I would never, never disclose anybody's name, but we have many people in our church who've been the victims of sexual assault. Everybody believes that there should be standards. The problem is that we want to pick and choose what those standards ought to be. And the truth is, the standard for purity is not up to us. It's up to God. Let each man have his own wife. She's your girlfriend. She's not your wife. And let each woman have her own husband. So the standard for sexual purity, it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from our denomination. It doesn't come from the Assemblies of God. It comes from the Word of God. God established the standards for us. And will the musicians come? This is what you need to know, is that God blesses sex inside the boundaries, but God curses sex outside of the boundaries. I've got to tell you the truth. We're going to go ahead and close service, but I've got to tell you this morning, because this will affect your life. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Church, this was written to believers. God will judge the adulterer and all sexually immoral. Listen, there are always consequences when you cross God's boundaries. Always. God cannot lie. His word is true. And the book says that he will judge everyone who is sexually immoral. Well, who are the sexually immoral? Everybody who pursues sex outside of God's boundaries. That includes pornography. Jesus called it adultery. We talked about it last week. He said, you've heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Y'all, there are always consequences to sexual sin. Always. Consequences now, consequences in eternity. And that's why God has given us a standard to protect us. God doesn't want you to suffer. God doesn't want you to come under judgment. God wants you to be blessed. But God's blessings are in the boundaries. I wish I had time, because I have a lot more I want to say. I got an hour left on this message, but if you promise you'll come back next week, I'll go ahead and stop. How many of y'all will promise to come back next Sunday? Okay, we'll go ahead and close this morning. Will you stand with me this morning and pray as we just seek God at the end of the service today? This has been tough, but I believe that God is changing hearts, changing minds, changing marriages. I believe that God is doing some transformational work this morning. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would deal with every one of our hearts today. God, for those who have been living outside of your boundaries, Lord, I thank you, God, that the conviction and the uneasiness they feel this morning is your love for them. Because you said in your word, I correct those whom I love. And Lord, we receive your correction this morning. God, thank you for dealing with every heart today. And Lord, I thank you that there is hope, that there is restoration, that there is freedom in Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. When you're living outside of God's boundaries, you know what you're doing? You're settling for a cheap counterfeit. You're settling for the thrill of the moment when God wants you to experience the thrill of a lifetime. When you live to satisfy your own lust, you're missing out on the life that God Himself has prepared for you. Listen, God's planned a life of intimacy, a life of purity, a life of blessings, relationship built on trust, and He wants you to live free from fear, free from the fear of failure, free from the fear of getting caught, free from constantly looking over your shoulder. God wants you to walk in freedom this morning. If you're listening to me today and you haven't been doing things God's way, maybe you find yourself way in the other direction. You've been living outside of His boundaries. I've got good news for you this morning. God offers you His grace today. Right now in this moment, you have the opportunity to receive the grace of God. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If you haven't been doing things God's way, you need to stop and repent and start following Jesus this morning. And God will give you grace. He will give you strength. He will give you hope. You say, man, I didn't plan on all this today. You didn't, but God did. Today is your day for a new beginning. It's time to follow Jesus. It's time to walk away from those wrong relationships. It's time to cut off those things that are pulling you down. It's time to remove those areas of temptation in your life. It's time to stop moving and operating outside of God's boundaries. Turn to Jesus this morning. He'll set you free. He will restore you, and you can experience the life that God intended. Here's the greatest news of all. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for you. He paid the price for sin and death, and He even conquered death. God raised Him from the dead. And if you call on that name of Jesus, He will save you and set you free. Whoever, no matter who you are, whatever you've done, no matter how bad you've been, by that grace of God, in His presence today, you can call on Him. Every sin you've ever committed will be forgiven, and you'll be made brand new through Jesus Christ. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you call on the name of the Lord. In fact, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come in my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you love me. I believe you gave me boundaries to protect me and to bless me. And Jesus, help me live for you. Help me walk in your ways. Give me grace and strength in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you pray that prayer a minute with all your heart, the Bible says that your sins are washed away. Every time you've ever crossed God's boundaries, He's erased it and wiped it off of your record. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ.